accession number 18445, Reel 2.
Fred Dale, Reel 2. So, how many soldiers were aboard the ship?
Well, on the Popeye?
Yes.
There must have been about 200 of us, I should say.
All from your regiment?
All from the regiment.
All from the 3rd RTR?
Yeah.
And anybody else aboard the ship? Any
well,
crew?
There were only a few stragglers, which I don't know what them, but very few, very few.
And you call the ship the Popeye?
We nicknamed it the Popeye, yeah. What was the name of it?
But it wasn't, it was just a freighter, was it? Just
it was a merchant ship. An old tramp ship.
British or Greek or what?
A Greek. It was a really tumble-down old crate.
And so it sailed from Suda Bay to Alexandria?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we got there eventually.
And were you attacked on the way across to Alexandria?
No, fortunately, we weren't.
Did you suffer very much on the journey?
No, not really. Only for the lack of a good wash, water. I mean, you had the seawater, naturally. But, of course, the life could have been a lot better, but actually we was only too pleased to we was the ones that got out.
Who was the senior man in charge on the ship?
Captain Upcockill.
So you said once you got to Alexandria you were given some money?
Yeah, we were given £2 in I think it was £2 and told to we could go into Alex. But providing we was all on the station at 5:30 in the morning to pick up the train to back to Cairo, or the city, which we, and I don't think there was anybody, they came in taxis, they came in garrets, they came in all manners of things, but they were all there. And who was on the station was bloke with the ukulele.
George Formby?
George Formby and his wife, and he's in Troy. I remember seeing them and joking with the troops and that. And then when we got back to them, we naturally, at the start, we went to City Bish, I think it was. Oh no, Heliopolis, the aerodrome. We was there for a little while resting and reorganised ourselves. So some of us were sent on courses. I was sent on an NCO's cavalry course at Abbas Air Base Depot. I'd done a fortnight's cavalry course. I was made up straight away when you finished the course, the Lance Corporal. Came back to the regiment at the helicopters. We done guard duties while we was there on the WT station, which and also the palace. I didn't do the palace one, I done the WT station. And it was a 7-day guard duty there. The secret station picks up a lot of messages, apparently. And I was very fortunate. I met an old school friend who was a wireless operator there. And he very, very good cricketer. I used to play cricket with him before I went in the army. And he was picked for a lot of representative sites, so I was lucky to be able to meet an old friend, and I used to go down and, when I was on leave, go down and see him. And then from there we came back. Well, I've done a couple of guards, 3 guards I think it was, and then we all moved to Abbas Air Base Depot. all of us, the whole lot of us.
The whole regiment?
Yeah. But we'd all been apparently, which I never meant before, but we was all, I didn't notice at the time, but we was all reported missing. What was left of the six tank crews, so was left to do this rear guard. When we got back to the aerodrome, Heliopolis, they told us that we could send a telegram to our parents to say that we was back in Egypt safe, which we did. And by that, my mother had also got a message to killed, reported missing, believed killed. But as it happened, she got the telegram more or less at the same time, or just after, so she was happy. But when we got to Abbasia Base Depot, a lot of things happened there, different day training, squad training, battalion training. But we didn't do no exercise or anything because we didn't have no tanks at that particular time. But I remember one incident. I was bed down 10C. I'd had a chest cold. And when I was up, I said to the lads, come on, let's go over to the gym and have a look through what's happening, because we were all sport mad at the time. When we got there, we were watching one of the instructors having a spar with a novice. He was definitely a novice. And I just made a remark. I said, well, I mean, I wasn't no novice myself. So I said to the lads, I said, well, good, why don't get and have a couple of rounds with him. Well, with that, I didn't realise that one of the officers was listening to us, Captain Davis. All right, Corporal, he said, I'll have a couple of rounds with him. Well, we give it good as we talk. And he said, oh, you've done a lot of this before. I said, yes. He said, asked me what I'd been in, and I told him. Didn't take no more, and then we moved to near the Sweetwater Canal, the whole regiment, reinforcements came at the same time as we was at Sweetwater Canal. And I know I had to go on a wireless course, which was within the regiment. And while I was there, the instructor came in and he said, by the way, he said, you're wanted outside. So when I got out there, I was surprised to see Captain Davis, Colonel, Brigadier, and several. And apparently I'd been picked to box for the Royal Armoured Corps. Well, I did, and apparently it was at number one lightweight, which I thought was a little bit thing. Anyway, I finished up boxing for the Corps, which was
just go from memory, don't worry about the notes. Oh, you've got a photograph of the team, yeah.
And I said I would, and that was fine. Well, was doing the training when we got a call to say that we were supposed to be at moving with the British, with the Armoured Corps team to Syria for training. But the colonel wouldn't let us go. He said the training for your operator comes first. But what we'll do, I had to have volunteers to help me with the training within the regiment. And we used to have to do 15 rounds, minute, no rest, minute each round, with different volunteers from the lads and the squadrons. So then I had to go, I finished my wireless course, passed my wireless course, and then I had to go to Abbasia Base Depot where the Army team had come back. the ordinary team. We fought in the New Zealanders.
You what?
The New Zealand Army.
In the boxing competition.
Which we won. I won in my bout in the second round. But they wanted us to stay as a squad. But I wanted to come back to Richmond, which I came back the same night with some of the officers. When we got to the guard room, I was told that I had to report to the officers' mess. And when I got to the officers' mess, they were waiting for me and gave me a drink, which was a thing I'd never done before. And we didn't get a chance to celebrate that night, but we did the following night. And then we went back up to the desert. I don't know the name of the camp. I forget the name of the camp. And we got new tanks, and they were the Hunters at that time. The new American tanks, the Hunters. My squad, and the others had the Grants. The other B and C squad and HQ had Grants. We had the Hunters in A squad and Racket. Then we'd done all our basic training as a squadron, battalion, and then brigade. And after they did that, we went back up to the desert for the first next two, which was in 41.
Which was what?
From 41. I know we had, I think it was, they told us that we went over the frontier, and we went to meet what German 21st Panzer Division was moving towards us. Well, when we went to meet them, we was the leading squadron, being the recce squadron. By the time we pulled out, I got knocked out the first tank.
How did it happen?
Well, we was reversing. Fortunately, our gun was pointing towards and the engine was there, and I got hit in the engine.
By what?
I think it must have been a 57 millimetre. It wasn't the heavy. It was a Mark 4, they had us, because they had Mark 4s and Mark 3s at that particular time firing.
So this was a tank battle with a German tank?
Yeah.
Could you see the enemy tanks?
Oh, yeah. You could see them all right. So as we pulled out, the Grants took over.
Where was this? This
was in the just over the front there. I can tell you the actual name. It was on the coast road, near the coast road. I suppose it was near, must have been near Mersa Matruh or Sidi Barani, somewhere around that way. I think it was Sidi Barani, to be honest.
Which month would this have been in?
This would be it must have been about August, I should think. But it must have been about August, or it might have been a bit later. Can't remember the actual that particular date. I've got it in my the other one, right then. But we didn't. We was there for quite a while, and then we eventually they moved. We did push the Germans back, and we got to I think it was at that particular time they were in Tobruk. When we got there, and it was rather a big battle that went on all the way around there.
Were you involved in this big battle?
Oh yes. When we got to, we went on to. I think we pushed the Germans back to El Agheila, as far as we're concerned. We moved over to where the Foreign Legion was. in the desert. Name. Anyway, we was reported that the Germans were going to attack, and they came round the fort, the Biakin.
Biakin.
And they came round and caught us. We moved out to meet them. I know my squadron was put on, told to go on the right, and of course, when they had the, they didn't realise that the big fellows, the Grants, was waiting for them. And there was a right, then when a battle went on there, we were put on the right, and we knocked out about six, I think it was six, seven tanks, which were only marked threes, because we would hold down. And then eventually we had to move back towards City Reserve, because it got really bad. When we got there, I know we was in Liga one night, and obviously we were all caught off the mark because the Jerish, that it was Germans, apparently had done a night march and caught everybody on the op. It was everybody for themselves, all dashed about. There was tanks and lorries and dark cars all over the place. And we was given a map reference, because I was operating it, given a map reference where to meet up. When we got there, there was only 13 of us. And that was Major Crisp, who was our squadron leader then, who was the South African test cricketer. Anyway, when we got organised, we all made a composite squadron, and we got a call to help the South African infantry brigade out, CVZ. Well, when we got there, they were overrun. But it was terrible to actually see. I've never seen anything like it. But then eventually we went into the attack with them, and they pulled back, fortunately, and the infantry got back over the hillside, and we took hold down positions. And we was all sitting there waiting to see what was happening. A bit of shell fire going on, but nothing to really worry us. And all of a sudden, we heard, to us, it was like a bugle sounds. And when we looked over to the valley, we could see the Hussars, or one of the Hussar regiments, attacking the Germans through the bottom of the valley, which was a fantastic sight to see. But then, unfortunately, it got to the stage that we opened up. I remember they came out to book, all right. And we got as far as we came out anyway. We got back to holding the line at this side of Tripoli, and then everything went quiet. Then they stopped, we stopped, and we got pulled back out of it shape ourselves, and we'll get new tanks, and etc.
What opinion had you formed by now from your experience in Operation Crusader in 1941 about the German enemy?
Well, to be perfectly honest, the equipment we had wasn't adequate enough. I mean, to do anything with a 37mm on a honey, you had to, well, I've seen them bounce off at 500 yards when you've been held down. But of course, it was a good tank in so much that it was fast. So you was able to manipulate and have rubber parts, you could really move. So a lot of us would be able to get away. But as far as the tank was concerned, it was still under gun. And also the grants that I had was only the 57 was only traversed 45 degrees. So the tank had to turn when it wanted to point in the right direction. On the top turret, they had a 37, which was only more or less equivalent to the two-pounder. So when we came back and we was refitted, we had the cruiser A-15s then. And that particular time, no tank had HE to fire an anti-tank gun. Well, I had a cruiser A-15 with a 3-inch howitzer, which was the first one with HE fire. So we were lucky in so much that we didn't have them long, to be perfectly honest. Then we went to so that, in my opinion, they were far superior in tank, as far as not so much the tactics or anything like that. Or for crews. The crews were excellent. And the training was good. But it was the firepower you didn't have. So that was the worst part of the whole thing, really. But we did, when we came back, we went on leave. Well, I think we all had 7 days leave. And then we had to start training again. That's when they first had the Shermans. We had the A-15s. And the rest of the squadrons had the Shermans. So they were a lot better off in so much they could traverse with the 57. We had the 6-pounder. I left 3-inch out and they changed that, and I had the whole squadron had 6-pounders then, A-15 6-pounders. I know we'd done firing before we went up to the desert, test up and TNA and that. And that was a good gun. But at least you had something you could hit back with, although you still had to get within a certain range before, or on the side of the tank before you could do that much damage. But we just stayed in the desert then until, forget the actual date, for the next campaign started, and
is this Operation Buckshot?
Yeah, this was we moved up and we was ready for Operation Buckshot. So
this is May to August 1942.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you remember about that?
Well, I remember it was a new setup, really, because we had different training exercises. Most of it at that time, before we got the cruise A-15, we'd done a lot of technical exercise without tanks and things like that. Until we got the new tanks, and then we done battalion and then brigade exercises. And then we moved up to the desert. Forget the actual name of the place in the desert we stopped. We were there for a few days before the attack, and then we attacked. I remember Turn it off.
I think your memory about Operation Buckshot's a bit hazy, so we'll miss that out and go on to Alamein.
When we were coming back towards Alamein, we got to Hillfire Pass when we bombed, but we got back to the little station called Alamein, and we was by the riverside, and we was then pushed back for the MPs told us where to go, out in the desert, where we stopped, which was only about 15 miles from the sea. Then we moved back then to a desert camp and a tented camp where we got retrained, and we was got equipment again. We still had the A-15s and the others had the Shermans, and then we moved back to the desert. After a few months, we did leave, etc. But then we went into the Germans did attack on the end of the line at by the depression, Desert Depression, and we was fortunate. We was on the end of the gap, so we didn't do a lot of action on that. The infantry, anti-tank guns, and a couple of the other regiments stopped them, and the bombing, we watched them being bombed on that, and they moved back. So we didn't do a lot of actual damage. We came back, we carried on with our desert training with the battalion and brigade, and then the time came, we knew General Montgomery came round and spoke to us all and told us what was going to happen. And the next do would be the final push as far as he was concerned.
What impression did Montgomery make?
Well, he very good impression, because it was the first time we were told what we were going to do, what equipment we had, and also that he wasn't going to do anything until he had the right equipment. But I know we moved up to wait for the actual do, and then when we got to the camp, well, the regiment stand so by, we all got a motor vehicle, and lorries came round and put a little box by the side of our tanks. We wondered what it was at the time. And it was actual canvas. They made the tank into a lorry. I know you only had to pull a string. I was a tank commander then. You only had to pull a string and it dropped down and you were back into a tank. But also, I was standing there one night, we'd already got these camera. I said, look, there's a petrol water station over there. I said, can't fill the cans up. So troops out. And it was all camouflage, all right.